Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life will be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Good morning. How y'all doing? Let me just say this right off the bat, because it's been talked about. Pastor Terry just mentioned it, but I'm going to say it really, really plain. Read my lips. This will never be a video venue. I just want you to be clear of that, because people are saying, well, it's going to be a video venue. That's not true, because in my heart, many years ago, when God gave us our first location, then our second location, I kind of kicked against all trends at that point in time, because video venues was really big then. One of those things that was really huge. And I decided at that point in time, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart never to have a video venue, because Ephesians 4:11 says we should equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry isn't just sweeping the floors or setting up chairs. It's also the ministries that's in our hearts to speak the word and give the gospel. Amen. A couple of my mentors told me then, you'll never build significant locations unless you're the one on the screen. And I said, well, I love y'all, but I know what the Holy Spirit told me, and I'm bound to listen to him. So this will never be a video location. Can you say amen? So just want to make sure that that is plain and we get that straight out of the gate right away. I know that Pastor Terry mentioned my son, and he is one of the best drummers you'll ever listen to. I know that because I taught him. But I have to say, he far surpassed me many, many, many years ago to be the drummer that he is today. But he traveled with me because my wife was doing a ladies' conference this weekend. And as much as I love my son, he's one of my best friends, I miss my wife. And very, very much. We love you guys so much. It's great to be back. I'm kind of like the pastor, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back. I'm always coming back around like a bad penny. And we always have a good time together. So many relationships we've built here through the years. I was just sharing with Pastor Anita. In fact, last night, a memory came up on my Facebook page of me preaching here this weekend 16 years ago. And I was here before that. So it's been a long time we've been building these relationships and friendships and connections that God had planned long before we ever knew about it. And of course, you know I love your pastors. They are more than just friends. They are family to us. When we're here, we stay with them. When they're in Phoenix, they stay with us. We don't put each other in hotels. We are family, and just absolutely love them, adore them. They are my brother and sister, and far beyond just a connection that God made for us years and years ago. Do me a favor before we go further. We have people that join us every week from all over the world. Put your hands together. Let the online community, our family that's extended, know that they are welcome right here. Come on, at the Father's house. Yeah. Hey, let's pray before we go to the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you for your grace and your goodness. We thank you for all that you do. And God, I pray today that although your word is anointed, you anoint each hearer to hear what you have for them in their heart, God, what you would have them to know and to grow in. Father, anoint me to speak only that which you would have me to speak. And Lord, for that, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited because this is my first Jingle Jam to ever get to be at. So we get to be here for a little while before we head to the airport, and we are excited about that. But once again, we love you here. Last week, I heard Pastor Terry teach a brilliant opening message for this series. Wasn't that brilliant last week? I think he's a prolific speaker, of course, and that's why he'll remain as one of our teaching location pastors around. He's going to go to all of our locations teaching because he's such a prolific teacher. And I listened in last week as I do most weeks, and what a great, great message. So we go into week two today on the series, The Gifts of Christmas. And I'm with Pastor Tim. I love gifts. I love giving gifts. I love receiving gifts. I'd much rather give a gift than receive. Although a couple of these bikes are just my size down here. I noticed you had a couple that would just fit me perfectly. Might be a little big for me, but still, I do. I love giving gifts, and I love receiving gifts. I love Christmas. Christmas is just the perfect time of year for me. I'm like a little kid when it comes to Christmas. And so Pastor Terry and I have that in common. We start playing Christmas music as soon as possible. And if it was up to us, we'd be playing from July on. That's just the way we think about Christmas. But I love this series. I love the idea of what we put into this. We are in week two now, and we're going to be talking about the gifts of Christmas. Let's go through our foundation scripture first. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11, here's what it says. For the grace of God has appeared. Come on, everyone say, has appeared. The grace of God showed up. The grace of God was given. The grace of God was born. The grace of God appeared. Come on, once again, everyone say appeared. Then it goes on to say, bringing salvation for all people, not a few, not a select nation, not just a certain group of people, but bringing salvation for all people. Whosoever will can come to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, oh, I'm not worthy. Can I just say this to you? It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've done. In fact, it doesn't even matter how good you've been. We all need Jesus. Our sins crucified him, and salvation is every one of us needs. Can you say amen? And so we have to see that. Don't think you can come offering to Jesus anything that would be worthy of salvation, because salvation is not of works, so we cannot boast about it. It is us coming and surrendering to the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us could find Jesus. And so grace did not remain invisible, is what their scripture saying. Grace showed up. I love the fact that the word appeared there in the Greek talks about like a sunrise coming into the darkness. So think about that. My father wrote a song years ago called "It Always Gets the Darkest Just Before Daylight." And that's what grace is all about. When Jesus was born, he wasn't just a baby in a manger. In fact, he cried in a manger so one day we could cry, Abba Father, before God Almighty. He brought grace in a way, and the word appeared is a Greek word that means sunrise into darkness. So no matter how dark your life has been, no matter how dark your life might be right now, all you have to do is surrender your life to the King Jesus, and the moment you do, grace appears like sunshine in your darkness, and you can say, I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. Sorry. Made me miss my wife all of a sudden. But it's true. There's this darkness we all lived in. When all of a sudden grace showed up, grace appeared, and like sunrise breaking through the darkness, we could see the truth. We could see our way. God gave us the gospel. Amen. And so I think those things are vitally important. And so we talk about these gifts that came. The Magi came and brought gifts. I want to talk about the gift of gold today and exactly what that gift means within our life. When we speak about the Magi bringing gold, we have to understand we also bring gold to God. Maybe we don't understand the gold that we have to offer, but we still bring gifts of gold to Jesus, right? And this is when gold of the Magi came and it was the grace of a king they came to. They thought they were coming just to lay a gift down of gold before this baby Jesus, this king. But in essence, they were the ones receiving the gift. They were the ones grace was covering. They were the ones, they didn't realize they were bringing a gift, but the greatest gift would come from the other person. Can you say amen? Gold honored the birth of Jesus, but it was grace that revealed his purpose. Gold announced a king, but it was grace that announced a savior, amen? A king can wear a gold crown, but only a savior can provide grace for a life that is lost. We were all dead in our trespasses and sin, the Bible says. But when we received Jesus, salvation was announced to our life, and our life would never be the same. This is a story, I believe, of two crowns. Everyone say two crowns. They're going to pull up a picture I want you to see right now, because when we talk about this, we speak of two crowns. One that maybe could have been made out of the gold the Magi brought, the golden crown that shines, that's beautiful. It comes in this beautiful packaging, and we see it shining, and it's wonderful. Then we see the other crown. We see the crown of thorns. We see the crown that this baby one day would wear, that would purchase salvation, that would bring and present this grace that we're talking about that was born that day. These crowns don't simply tell the story of a king. These crowns tell the story of a savior. Come on, everyone say a savior. Look at someone and say, do you know Jesus? Here's the exciting part. I know some of you do, because some of you are in this second service and you received Jesus in the first service. I know that. I can see you sitting there. I met you. I know your name. And that's exciting to me to know that you came in and you heard the story of grace and it was so real to you. You said, you know what? This is the day. This is the day I will lay down my crown and I will receive the crown of salvation through Jesus. Can you say amen? And to the point, you wasn't here for just one service. You're like, I'm coming back for more. Amen? I don't know about you, but I love that. You might say, well, I got saved a long time ago and my salvation's fine, but I'm not that excited about God anymore. I'm more excited about God today than I've ever been. I've got more energy that I've never spent before. I've got this zeal in my zeal for the house of God has consumed me. You think I'm getting old? I ain't retiring. I'm refiring. God's given me more to do. I love Jesus. I love the kingdom. I love his bride, the church. And together, we've got more souls to see born again. Can you say amen? That's really what we're doing here today is, let me just say it this way. In fact, write this down in your notes. When we recognize his crown, we'll gladly lay ours down. We'll gladly lay ours down. When you see the crown that he wears, when you know the truth of the man beneath the crown, you'll begin to understand the crowns that you carry are not important, because every year, every one of us at Christmas times, like it or not, we're wearing a crown. Maybe not on our head. Maybe not donned up on our head, but crowns of certainly within our hearts. The crown of control. We could call that the crown of pride. Maybe the crown that I decide what my life should look like. I can't surrender certain parts of my life to Jesus. I'll give him parts of my life, but I will not lay down all my life. Can I just say this to you? Once you recognize the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you'll see what he has to offer, you will gladly surrender your life to him, because your life is better with him than you can handle it by yourself. Life just gets better with him. Everyone say, mo better. I know that's not proper, but I like it. Mo better. We just mo better than we've ever been. And so I love the fact that we look at this and we talk about that crown of control, right? Knowing that sometimes we hand something to God and then we think we can control it because God's not answering in our timeline, so we take it back. They didn't bow because of where he was. They came to see a king and they found him in a home that was easily forgotten. They found in a manger that was really not much of anything, but there laid royalty. But they didn't bow because of where he was, they bowed because of who he was. They understood in their thinking, in their heart, that this was the Savior of the world. They understood in their heart that this was the announcement of the future, the salvation, the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and this is it. Amen? Everyone say, this is it. The Magi brought gold. Because they recognize royalty. They recognize. And in that day, that's what they would do. They would bring a gift to a king. But on this day, they realized the king had the greatest gift to give to them. There was a gift that would come to them that would far surpass anything that they could ever give to the king. They bowed down because of, everyone say, who he was. So Christmas confronts the crowns that we wear, not to shame us, but to set us free. Maybe a crown of fear, a crown of anxiety, a crown of anger, whatever it might be that you're wearing. Christmas confronts that to release us, because let me say it this way one more time. When we recognize the crown, come on, we recognize his crown, we'll gladly lay ours down. I hope you get that in your heart, because you're carrying things you're not created to carry. You're carrying things that only a king can carry. You're carrying things that are weighing you down. When you got to give that to Jesus, cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Amen? Amen? So let me give you today's title. Write it down in your notes. Crowned, the gift fit for a king. Crowned, the gift fit for a king. He wore a crown that we could not wear. He wore a crown that would not fit us, nor could we carry the weight of it. And as we try, we pay a price. So let me go through a few things I want us to see today. Write these down in your notes. Here's the first one. Jesus is the king worth bowing to. Yeah. Jesus is the king worth bowing to. Hear those words. There are many kings in this world and queens that have been bowed to in their life. But Jesus is the king worth bowing to. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says it this way. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They bowed low. They bowed down before the baby, recognizing it wasn't just an infant, but it was a king that would grow to the future of the kingdom of God. So they bowed before him. They fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, one thing I've noticed about our culture is many people try to just make Christmas tradition. It's a tradition that we just go through every year. We all have family traditions. I'm sure you have yours. My wife started a tradition when my boys were just little guys. Now they're 38 and 40, but she started buying them every Christmas Eve. We drop off funny underwear. Pajamas to the kids, but funny underwear to our children, right? And so I think to myself, this is not a tradition I made up, but I support my wife. Don't tell her I'm preaching this way. Don't you tell on me when you see her, because I go, that's a strange tradition that we're still doing, but she loves it. And funny enough, my kids still laugh about it. They pick them up, they're like, ah, and I think, I would not wear those. Come on, y'all with me. Everyone say traditions. We can have family traditions, certain meals that we cook, things that we do around the Christmas tree. That's fantastic. But we cannot make the celebration of Christmas just a tradition. We cannot make just the celebration of Christmas something we do because it's just the time of the year that we celebrate. No, no, no. The Magi did not bow down out of tradition. They bowed down out of revelation. They bowed down because they knew something someone else didn't know. They bowed down because they saw something others missed. They knew that Herod wore a crown, but he did not carry spiritual authority. They knew that Herod wore a crown, but he couldn't carry the crown or wear the crown that the king of the world would carry and bring the grace and salvation to the earth. That's why they bowed down, not because it was another king, but because it was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Come on, y'all with me. When we see Jesus, we no longer worship him out of obligation. We no longer worship him out of a heart that's like, well, I'm in church and music's going on. When it's done, I'll finally get to hear the Bible. No, that's worship. Everything we do on Sunday morning is worship. Music is worship. Giving tithes and offerings is worship. The word is worship. Prayer is worship. It's us surrendering, laying down our life, and doing every discipline we can to please the one who has given us life. Come on, look at someone and say, now he's preaching to you. In 1953, millions of people watched as they placed a crown on the head of Queen Elizabeth. If you look back at that time, although TV wasn't like we know today, all the networks of that day were still tuned in, radio was tuned in, and people were shocked. People were bewildered by watching what was going on. It wasn't the moment of just another queen as the cameras panned the crowd. What really made the people shocked across the globe was the crowd wasn't cheering wildly. They weren't clapping like we would for a president when he walks in the room, right? They were trembling. They were weeping. They were awestruck about what was going on. Not because of this woman, Queen Elizabeth, but because of what the crown represents in the UK. If you're here, and I know I talked to someone earlier from the UK, if you're here and you're from the UK, nothing wrong with that stirring of your heart that says that crown represents something that's precious to me. But I will tell you this much, that crown compares nothing to the crown of Jesus. That crown can stir the heart and emotion, but cannot offer eternal life. That crown can offer some things that would be wonderful for a country, but that crown cannot release the world from their sin like the crown that Jesus wore. Can you say amen? The Magi bowed down because heaven was revealing a king, the King of Kings. Write this down in your notes. Worship becomes natural when Jesus becomes king. I cannot, at this point in time, just stand in church with my hands crossed and say, well, that's just not who I am. I don't sing, I don't clap, I'm not, my personality. No, when you come to a real relationship with Jesus Christ, he will transform your life. Years ago, I was raised in music, hence my son's a drummer, because I was raised traveling across the country out of Nashville, Tennessee, doing music. I was a drummer, and then I became a singer on the stage. And when I left the road, I would go to Arizona, and we were part of a small denomination, and every time they'd have a minister's convention or they would have a retreat, whatever they do, they'd ask me to sing. They'd have me on the stage. I would sing a special. That's what we used to call it. Remember, Pastor Terry, we'd sing a special, and you had a special singer. I thought, yeah, I'm special. That's why I rode the short bus, But I was special all my life. But the truth is, all of a sudden, my father-in-law one day at breakfast said to me, you know there's a difference between the spirit of singing and the spirit of worship, don't you? And it really stung my heart. I realized that I was distributing the talent like I was doing God a favor. Like there was something I was giving him that would be a piece of gold that I could lay before him as though he could treasure that because he owned no gold. Last time I remembered in heaven, the streets are paved with that menial stuff called gold. We walk on it when we get to heaven. And I acted as though I was laying something down before him that was worthy of being there. From that moment on, it changed my life. You might say, well, man, that pastor, he claps, he jumps, he shouts, you hear all, I'm crazy about it. You might say, why did he do that? Because now I recognize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he knows me. He saw me. He knows everything I've done, everywhere I've been, everything I said, and somehow he still loves me. I had a lady after first service said, I just got through finishing reading your book. And she said, I look at you and think, how did you come through all that? And I said, because there's a God in heaven that loves me. There's a God in heaven, come on, that loves me. There's a God in heaven that loves me. There's a God in heaven that loves you. Come on, look at someone and say, God loves you. Bowing down doesn't reveal weakness. Bowing down offers alignment. It's us aligning with his heart. It's us offering our life to lay down and worship him, come on, in spirit and in truth, right? When we bow our heart to Jesus, we bow our life to Jesus, we're not losing autonomy. He don't come in and control everything. We still have to surrender all of our life. But what we are doing is we're finding order. We're rediscovering why we were created in the first place. You know, there's only one ministry that remains in heaven. You will not be healing the sick in heaven. You won't see lame people in heaven and you healing them and seeing them walk. That's no longer, come on, we're not gonna sit around and preach another series in heaven, but what we will do for eternity is worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, y'all with me? It's the one eternal ministry. We bow down to the King of Kings, not to a crown of gold. Number two, write this down. Jesus is the King who holds all authority. Jesus is the King who holds all authority, meaning all power. He's an all-powerful God. There's nothing you'll go through that he don't already know about and he will do something about. See, we get this all confused, like God brings the difficulty. God brings the storm. God brings the problem. No, God don't do that. But what God will do, he'll use it to have you grow in your faith. He'll use it to have me grow in my faith. That's what he does. We grow together because our problems remind us we need Jesus because he has the answer. He is the solution. He has all authority. Everyone say all authority. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. By him all things were created in heaven. Everyone say on earth. Everyone say in heaven. Everyone say on earth. That means you. That means you. That means you, that means me, every one of us was created on earth by him. Look on. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him. Woo, come on. Y'all are getting this. All things were created through him and? All things were created through him and? You have one purpose in this earth, created for the King to lay everything down before him as a matter of worship. The one who gave you life, that is our responsibility, our privilege, and our joy to lay our lives down, lay our crowns down, and make sure we are worshiping him. Amen? His authority doesn't sway with our circumstances. Kings rise and fall, governments shift, people will disappoint, economies will shake, but God stands true. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes with the tide, the weather. It may rain on your life, but not today. Not in Leesburg. We're praying the rain away. Anyone been praying the rain away? I'm so dry, I should soak up some of this moisture. I live in the desert. I need some moisture. That's why I look so old. My wife says, you need to use more moisture cream. I'm like, baby, that's for girls. She says, yeah, but you're going to look like an old man. I said, too late. You see these tracks? I earned them. I'm proud of them. I didn't say anything else after that because she knew where I was going, right? So his authority never wavers. His authority stands sure. He is, the Bible says, before all things. He holds all things together. Even when our life feels scattered, He's with us, amen? He remains steady. The creator of all things holds all things together. Read the story of a storm that came off the East Coast. And as it came off that East Coast area, there was a shaking of a storm. There was a shaking that ripped apart ships. There was a shaking that, you know, began to tear that area apart. But the lighthouse keeper kept a journal, and he began to talk about how, although it swayed like a branch in the wind, the light never flickered because the foundation was too deep. The structure was too steady. Come on, there's no way it was going to go away because it was built on the right stuff. Can I just say this to you? I don't care if your life feels like it's swaying. I don't care if it feels like there's a storm beating against you. Come on, the light of Jesus Christ is never going to, the shining is never going to go away. Can you say amen? When I was a kid, there was a song. I don't think they sing it much anymore. Many of you remember it. It said this: He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world. In His hands. He's got the whole world.
In His hands. He's got the whole world.
I love y'all. You showed up just like we're doing a big choir. That's awesome. Then I read of a story of a man, a pastor in New York City. He was a pastor and a businessman that would meet other businessmen, and they would be stressed out. They'd be anxious, full of anxiety, talking about all their problems. And he was very cautious about how he spoke to them. In fact, he didn't say a lot of words. He would take them down through mid-city of New York, down toward Rockefeller Center. And there, if you've ever been there, there's a statue of Atlas. Atlas is standing there, and he has the globe, the world on his back. And he's straining, just holding the world up and just straining to make sure everything's held together. And the pastor would look at the businessman and say, "This is how most of us live. We live full of anxiety. We live full of fear. We live full of trying to think we have to work it out, full of anxiousness in our hearts because we cannot seem to work it out." And then he would just take them not far across the street to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there in St. Patrick's Cathedral, he would walk them behind toward the altar, and there was just a statue of baby Jesus, his hands out, and he's holding the world, the globe, in his hands. He would say, "Now you have a choice. You can try to be Atlas and hold up all the pressure, all the struggle, with all your strength, all your anxiety involved. You can try your hardest to do that. Or you can give your heart to the one who holds the world in His hands." And that's what I say to you today. Those of you that are struggling, those of you that are strained in your marriage, a strain in your family, a strain and you're afraid, you're going through things saying, "How will I ever work this out? Tell me how I'm ever going to do this." Well, you're trying to be an Atlas. You've got to lay it down, and you've got to go to the one who holds the whole world in His hands. Can you say amen? It's vital that we understand that. That picture becomes a changing point for everyone, anyone that will see that. Because when we finally see the difference between Atlas and Jesus, we understand that we were never created to carry those things. Only the King of Kings can carry what you're weighted down with. Come on, y'all with me. When we trust His authority, we stop living like everything depends on us. I can't work it out. Only He can work it out. Some people spend their energy trying to hold it all together like they think they're Atlas. Right? What God has promised, He will sustain. That's His promise to you and I. How prideful and arrogant we are to think that we hold it all together. We literally saying, "God, it's okay, I've got this." Well, good luck with that, Scooter. Come on. And God's like, "Just give it to me. Cast all your cares on me. I care for you. You're not made, you're not created to carry that. I'm made to carry that. Cast it up on Jesus." Amen. That is so important. Everything holds together when our life rests under His authority. Write that down in your notes. Everything holds together when our life rests under His authority, His power, His strength, not ours. It's all about Him. Amen. When we believe He's the King, we stop gripping life with white knuckles and we start living with open hands. His authority frees us from the pressure of literally trying to be our own Savior. You can't do it. None of us can. Leads us to number three. I want you to know this. Jesus is the King who deserves our best. Jesus is the King that deserves our best. Everyone say our best. I have 5 grandchildren. And I love every one of them individually, love them all differently. They're all my favorite in their own way. There was one happens to be his daughter. He has two. It's a 50-50 chance you figure it out. But it's his younger one. And Brinley is special to me. She is spunk and she is glitter. She is fiery and she is loving. She is all that. And one day we were at a restaurant and my wife says to her, we bought him some French fries and stuff. My wife says to Brinley, "Can I have one of your French fries?" She goes, "No, Gigi, these are mine." My wife went, "Huh, really? Who do you think bought those? I could take them all from you." And she goes, "No." And my wife goes, "If you don't give me one, I'm going to take them all." She goes, "Fine." And we laugh at that. And that's cute because of that time a seven-year-old child thinking that way. But here we are, some of us, aged Christians, people who serve God, people who know the King of Kings. And he comes to us and says, "You know what? I just need 10% of what I've given you. Just give me a tithe of what I've placed in your hands. Give me an offering. Place something in the legacy offering. Just give me a portion of what I've given you." We go, "No, Jesus, this is mine." And we act like a spunky little seven-year-old that don't understand you would have nothing if it wasn't for your provider. That you don't own anything. You don't have the right to anything. You don't have the ownership. You don't have a deed and title. Everything you are, everything you own, everything you ever will be, everything you ever will have is only because the provider, the King of Kings, has come to your life and given you the breath you breathe, the heart that beats, and all that belongs. Come on, y'all with me. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. I love this. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits. And of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. That's the English Standard Version. Let me give you the PKG. That's the Pastor Kevin Goff version. Honor the Lord with what he's given you. Give back a first fruit of what he's trusted you with. Then your bank account will be full and your cabinets will be full and you'll be satisfied for the rest of your life. But so many people have trouble seeing this. They have trouble reconciling the fact that everything we have belongs to him. And when we trust just that portion back, he doesn't just keep it. He multiplies it. He makes sure it comes back to you. When you give, it will be given good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God will cause it to come back on you over and over and over because that's the kind of God he is. Jesus loves you. Look at someone and say, "Jesus loves you." Write this down, you know. When we honor the King, we honor the King most when we give him our best. We honor the King most when we give him our best. There's no other way to really honor him except full surrender. Partial surrendering is not honoring. When my wife and I made our vows, when we made our covenant, let me ask you, husband, something. Do you want your wife to honor you partly or fully? Which part of your vows do you want your wife to keep? Well, at least you're brave enough to say it out loud. How many of your wives think your husband should have a side chick? Man, I hope this isn't prophetic in somebody's life right now. Somebody's like, "Move on, Pastor." If I had a side chick, I'd go to bed tonight and there'd be rusty scissors on the headboard. You'll get that later. Some of you get that later. Because that's not the way this works. There is no partial surrender. When you come into marriage, you become one flesh. We don't live separately. We don't sleep in separate bedrooms. We don't live different lives. I hate the fact she's not here right now. I love my son. He's one of my best friends, but I'm not going to kiss him. Well, not like I kiss my wife, obviously, but think about it. I'm not going to snuggle up to him in bed and go, "I'm cold." I'm not going to sleep in the same bed. He snores loud. I heard him in my room. We laugh, it's funny, but this is how we treat our spiritual life. I'll give you this compartment of my life. I'll give you this part of my heart. I'll give you this much of what you asked for, But then we hold back a portion of what we don't want to give. No French fry for you, Jesus. And we need to remember he owns it all. Come on, he owns it. The Magi did not give leftovers. They gave to Jesus something that cost them. It wasn't a gift of convenience. It's not like they were on the way to the Christmas party. They stopped at Walgreens and bought a $25 white elephant gift. And see, that's how some of us treat Jesus, the King of Kings. Like he deserves something off the shelf as a secondary thought. That's not worship. Worship cost us something. It's not convenient. Sometimes, in fact, it's very uncomfortable. I had a car one time years ago, a Buick Skylark. It was the most popular car back in that day in that model, known for being stolen. We came out of church one day and I went to get my car and my car was gone. It was stolen. Called the cops. They found it about a week later. Everything was fine. The steering column was broke, but it was in good shape. Cool. So a few weeks later, we're in church. I come out, same car. It's gone. Stolen again. Driving down the road one day, Austin was just about 5 or 6 years old. He said, "Dad, that was our car. Daddy, that was our car." I said, "What are you talking about?" Turned around. Sure enough, it was parked beside the street. We found it again. True story. About 3 months later, you can't make this stuff up. I come out of somewhere and sure enough, the car was gone. Car's gone. I'm like, what in the world is up with this car? So one day I get a call from a young couple, their baby's gonna die. I have to run the hospital to pray. I pull in the hospital parking lot. I get out and I park right next to my own car. Three times. Strike three, right? So the next week was in church, and this young couple, Beth and Anthony, they were moving to Massachusetts. They said, "Pastor, will you pray for us? We're moving to Massachusetts, and pray for us because we don't have a car." I said, "You do now. I'm going to give you that one. I can't keep it." It's yours. I can't keep it, no matter what. I trust they kept it. Now, let me tell you something. That cost me something. I needed that car. We needed more than one car. Y'all with me? And we can think, well, wasn't I somebody when I gave him that car? I gave that car to many people. 4 people had that car. Thank you. Come on, y'all with me? So the Magi came with the gift that mattered. In their heart, it mattered, right? They could have brought something simple. Pastor Tim, they could have brought something symbolic, something that meant something to them, but they brought something that was costly. They brought something that caused a pinch in their life. When we see him as king, we don't give out of convenience. We give him something that's costly in our life. Come on, y'all with me. In the day of Jesus' birth, people brought gifts to kings. Brings me back to the statement, what do you give a man that has everything? What do you give a person that has everything? Don't you know that in those moments, we stop, we pause, we consider, we think, we take days, sometimes weeks. I remember Pastor Terry's 70th birthday. I tried my hardest to think, what do I give this guy? I was asking secret questions to Anita. What does he need? Well, he don't need anything. Well, what does he want? Then I got onto the list. I'll never forget. I found some of it, but I didn't find all of it. The day of the party, we're at the mall together. He's there, I'm there, our wives are there. I'm like, I gotta go check on something. I go upstairs to the front floor, the top floor, and I'm running, trying to get ahead of them because I know they're going to the store. I gotta buy this thing. Get down there, buy what I wanted, ran down the other side. He didn't even know what was going on. But I remember when I gave him the gifts. I remember when I gave him the gifts. He was like, "Oh, how did you know?" I said, "I'm all knowing." I said, "A little birdie." He goes, "Anita." But the look on his face, the joy that he received the gift he wanted, knowing that it costs something on this side. I sold the car. No, just kidding. No, knowing that it costs something mattered to him. Don't you think for one moment you're doing Jesus a favor by being here today? The latest trend shows that the average person goes to church one time a month to two times a month. That's a farce. My kids, when they were younger, had drug problems. I drug them to church every Sunday. Because I had a drug problem. My daddy drugged me to church every time the church doors was open. We used to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, prayer, Bible study during the week, Wednesday night service. I mean, I was in church 5 days a week. That's why I'm so messed up. You think you had it hard just finding Jesus lately? Try growing up in church. That'll mess you up. But the truth is, it did teach me something good. And that was, my life is nothing but a drink offering poured out before the King of Kings. I own nothing that does not belong to me. Every part of my life cost me something. Cost me something. Cost me something. Can you say amen? Your goal is not just your money. It's your time. It's your talent. It's our obedience. It's our full attention. Come on. It's our influence. It's our affection. Honor the King means placing treasures at his feet that bring him pleasure. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Not so you feel better today and you got rid of some conviction. Thank God, that's a benefit. But it's about, what can I bring to him? And not just say, God, I'm bringing you these things, but God, I realize these things belong to you. I'm just stewarding them. I'm just managing them. Thank you, Lord. Here's something back that maybe is not convenient, but it sure brings joy to the heart of God. Amen. And in that, I say, lead me, Lord. Shape me. Use me. I don't want my life to be average. I don't like being average. They said the average height of a man is 5'9". That's why I always tell people I'm 5'8 and 3/4". Just don't want to be average in anything I do. Bring up that picture, if you would, the one that we have prepared. Take a look at the crown. The gold crown is beautiful. The gold crown represents extravagant giving. Gold costs the Magi something. This crown, they did not give him. This crown, he took upon himself. This crown is worth more than gold. This crown outshines anything we could ever give to him. This crown is a crown that made a difference in all of humanity. This crown is a crown that ended sin and death and brought eternal life. This crown is a crown that made the word stand strong in the face of all problems. This crown is a crown that truly matters. Amen? The one crown we can give to him, this crown he chose to wear out of love for you and I. Just why every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I just want to remind you. I just want you to understand this once again. The moment you recognize his crown, you will gladly lay yours down. What are you holding back? What are you not surrendering? What portions of your life are you giving to him, but yet not fully surrendering those to him? Maybe you're here, first of all, and you're born again. You know you're going to heaven. You know that your salvation's good. But while I was giving this talk today, God's Spirit dealt with you. Maybe you've had some things fall out of order. Maybe he's asked you for something and you've said, no, that's mine. Maybe there's some surrender you've not given as you should in your relationship with him. Maybe your worship has been subpar compared to what it should be. Maybe you focus on something else and let it become greater than him as your focal point. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying. If you're here and you're born again, you know you're going to heaven. Your life is good with God, but you know there's some changes, some adjustments, some alterations that you need to make in your life, areas you need to grow in your faith. Nothing wrong with that. We've all been there. And you want prayer, in a way of asking for prayer. Come on, just slip your hand up and right back down. Good, 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 good. Put them right back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So many hands, thank you, thank you. Father, I pray for every one of these believers. I thank you, God, that the stirring of your spirit has caused them to recognize some things where they need to grow. God, that's true in all of us. But these people were touched by your spirit to the degree that they know there's an order that needs to be kept that's kind of been out of order. Holy Spirit, one of your ministries to us is to remind us of the word that's spoken to us. I pray you remind them in the coming days, weeks, months, and even years of this moment you spoke to them. Bring it back to their memory each day, God, that they'll be forever changed by your spirit. Now, one more question. It's a question I never close without asking. Maybe you're here and you've never really surrendered your life to God. We had 7 or 8 in the first service answer that call to say, it's time for me to surrender. Let me just say this to you. You're not here by accident. Everyone has an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior. But some of you think you're okay because you were baptized as a baby, you went to church as a child, or you're a good person. That's cool, but none of those will get you to heaven. The Bible says everyone has sinned because man fell, sin passed through all of us, sin separates us from God, so we were born in sin, born separated from God. The Bible goes on to say without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. In the Old Testament, that's why they would take a lamb known as the spotless lamb, and they would offer it in ceremonial fashion. When they would sacrifice the animal, the high priest would take the blood from the animal sacrifice and offer it for the forgiveness of the people's sins for 1 year, and they would do that every year. But God didn't want animal sacrifices because a man sinned, ultimately a man would have to die. That's why Jesus came to earth in the form of a man. He lived a sinless life, born of a virgin Mary. At the end of his life, they led him to a cross where he laid his life down, spilling out his blood. His blood does not cover sin for 1 year. His blood erases sin from our life, past, present, and future, never to be remembered again, according to the word. They buried him, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death because he loved us that much. The book of Romans says this, listen carefully, because this is salvation. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What does that mean to be saved? First of all, it means saved from an empty life in this earth, that emptiness, that void you have in your heart. You've tried to fill it with drugs maybe, alcohol, parties, relationships, business, money, careers, hobbies, busyness, but you still say there must be more to life than this. And there is, but it's not something, it's someone, and his name is Jesus. He's the only one that can fill the emptiness. Secondly, means saved into a place called heaven. When this life ends, eternity begins. It's either heaven or hell. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not even trying to tell you about hell. I'm trying to tell you about heaven. Heaven's a perfect place. No more sickness, no more pain, no more disease. Love, joy, peace in the presence of Jesus with those that you love, your family members, and those you influence to go with you. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father which is in heaven but by me. So once again, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not gonna have you stand up. I'm not gonna call you forward. I'm not gonna put a spotlight on you. I just wanna pray for you right there where you're at, like I did for the others. But if you're here right now and you know you need Jesus as your Lord, you need to make your life right with God. You wanna make sure heaven is your home in the future, like the ones that did in the first service. If that's you right now, I just want to pray for you. Just come on, just simply lift your hand up right back down saying, pray for me, Pastor Kevin. Include me in your prayer. Come on, slip it up. Thank you so much there in the back. Somebody else, you just slip your hand up and right back down and say, Pastor, thank you so much. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, Pastor, include me in that prayer if you would. I want to know that Jesus is my Lord. Heaven's my future. Is there another? Come on, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Is there another? We're waiting just a few moments. Don't hesitate. You feel that tugging. That's the Holy Spirit. Do not turn that away. Are you here? Someone else, you say, Pastor, that's me. Include me in that prayer. I want to know that heaven's my future, my family. Are you here? All right. All right. I'm going to pray this prayer. Those of you that lifted your hand, this is that prayer of receiving Jesus as your Savior, your Lord. Those of you at home, if you're listening to this on broadcast, this is that prayer that you can pray as well, receiving Jesus as your Lord. I'm going to say it. Those of you lifted your hand, I want you to repeat it after me out loud. Not by yourself. Everyone here that is born again, I want you to say it to support them. Come on, let's all say it together. Father, come on, everyone together. Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's your son. I believe he died on a cross. He was buried and rose again. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord, my Savior. Forgive me for my sin. Make me new. From this day forward, I place my life completely in your hands. And I place myself in a local church to learn more of you, that through greater knowledge of who you are, I will grow in deeper love with you. Come on, welcome these to the family of God, church. Come on, celebrate. Come on, celebrate. Do you know why we celebrate like that? Because the Bible says when anyone comes to Jesus, the angels of heaven rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a party in heaven in your name, and we're just joining that celebration. Welcome to the family of God. The best decision you could ever make, you just made. I know they have more for you, and they'll tell you how to connect further, but we love you so much. You found a great family. We say welcome home. God bless y'all.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.